Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
Well, Bill.
Yes, Aaron.
Anything interesting for the week today?
Not really. Thanks for that.
I just like to give something, Bill, something he didn't expect. Okay, so I don't even have free advertisement of the week, so...
So who is a free advertisement of the week?
Budget printing.
Oh, budget printing again. Okay, the old go-to standby.
McDonald's budget printing right there on Bocelli Lane in Reading. They are the best, and they'll get your projects done really fast. And if you kind of stink at putting your artwork together, they do not stink at that. So it's incredibly helpful.
Yes.
They are by the... I was going to say they were by the liquor barn, but that apparently moved. When I wasn't looking, apparently I spent a tremendous amount of time there. I didn't even notice it moved. It sounds like I've lived here forever. It's by the old liquor barn, by the old... It's always they're by H&R Block. I guess you'll care about that first of the year. Okay. So today we're reuniting with our old friend, Dr. Shezong Chen. And we have not... I don't know how this happened, but we haven't talked to him in like a year, which is crazy. Sorry, I sound like Madge from the Sir Marge from The Simpsons. I had a cattleman's event last night. And there was a lot of talking in a really loud room, and
should have been right up your alley. I don't know what the problem is.
There was beef. There were funeral potatoes
and lots of talking.
Someone said no, they're called church potatoes, and I'm like, why do you call them church potatoes? They're like, well, they always have them at the funerals at church. Like, they're called funeral potatoes. Anyway, it was great, but there was a lot of talking over a lot of noise, and so you'll have to forgive me for that. But Dr. Chen has been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years, and now it's way over 30 years because we've chatted with him for quite some time. He has founded, co-founded, or been spokesperson for a number of organizations concerning China and has spoken extensively on issues related to China. He began his activism in 1989 when he helped to organize supporting activities during the 1989 Beijing student movement. He was outraged by the June 4th massacre and founded the Tiananmen Square Foundation. He has served on the board of the Press Freedom Guardian and was elected as the vice president of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars in the U.S. Upon learning the brutal persecution of Falun Gong in China, Dr. Chen founded the Falun Gong Human Rights Working Group in 2001 and has since submitted over 100,000 cases of human rights abuses against the Falun Gong practitioners to UN special reporters. He has also founded and is president of the Conscience Foundation, a nonprofit organization to publicize and remind people that the human conscience is the very essence of humanity. He has spoken extensively on issues of human rights in China and since 2001 has frequented meetings at the UN Human Rights Commission in Geneva, now the Human Rights Council, spoken to the council, to special reporters and in many forums to forward the cause of human rights. He was a panelist in the annual meeting of the California Bar Association, spoken to Amnesty International's U.S. West region, and has made numerous appearances at various forums on radio, like ours, and TV shows and interviews. I have more on his bio. He's actually a microbiologist, which is interesting. So I'm going to skip to that part because that's
where I met him in my microbiology class.
Yeah, highly unlikely. Actually, it's more unlikely that I would have met him there. You know, the English majors don't loiter at microbiology things because we don't even, you know, what frustrates us is we don't know what the words are. And so that like locks us out right there.
Yeah.
But he was born in China in 1962 and at 15 entered the gifted program at China University of Science and Technology. He came to the U.S. in 1982. To study and received his PhD in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego. He somewhat currently, may have to modify this a little bit, he's stepping back a little bit, but currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego. And he was, we met him, hold on here, I can cheat on this one. First show we did with him was July of 2019. Because I saw an article that he had written that said, "Can Chinafornia ever become California again?" Caught my eye. And we started chatting, and then COVID hit, and he was the one who smartened us up about all that and the lab leak and all that. Thanks to him, we were way ahead of the game on that whole thing. But today we're talking about trade, and China and trade have been very much in the news. And when he called me the other day, I was like, gosh, great timing. Thanks for reading my mind. It's so handy. So I have your brief article that you sent to us, Dr. Chen, but I'm going to let you start this where you think we should today.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. So, thank you for the introduction, but hearing your doctorate introduction, I just realized that at least since 2019, July 2019, actually before that, I have also begun to speak on, in addition to issues related to China, issues related to the United States.
That's true.
And today, today's, well, I think, will be the most in-depth that I will elaborate on a U.S. issue. And I actually think today's talk will be the most important of all my talks that on your radio, and but it's also the most complex, and that is related to the Supreme Court case against President Trump on his invocation of the IEEPA, International Emergency Power, Emergency...
Oh, probably executive.
Not executive.
Didn't get the microbiology right, and didn't get this one right either. I also failed acronyms.
International Emergency Economic Powers Act.
Sure.
So, IEPA. And President Trump used terror, given by that power. And some other people think that PACS is Congress power. So, the lawsuit, right? So we'll talk about that because there's a hearing last week on Wednesday. And so I think this is the most important Supreme Court case on the United States foreign relationship. It's up to the level of the another Supreme Court case, the Amistad case. Amistad case is in our, U.S. high school textbook. So, but anyway, so this is our today's topic. I hope that I hope that we have time to unravel everything. But let's start. So, I think most Americans would think invasion looks like armies, ships, or missiles, right? But for more than 30 years, the Chinese Communist Party has used a different method. It converted international repression into low-cost production, and then invited the world, particularly the United States, to profit from it. And we accept the benefit without seeing the price, and so we have covered this topic before. We'll revisit this again. We call it the generous barbarism. And there's generous barbarism evolves, and it has evolved to now to cause a result, a devastating result in the United States. A quiet form of dependence. Those companies and institutions in the U.S., U.S. companies and institutions who remain silent about the CCP's abuses are allowed to profit in both China and the United States. Those who speak the truth and, or opposed to CCP's abuses are excluded from the Chinese market entirely. And over time, this has rewarded silence and discouraged conscience inside our own country, institutions, businesses, finance, universities, even public policy. So already, tear apart our fair competition, our market economy, right? So when large portions of the United States, those, you know, business, finances, universities who were dependent on China, you know, we are no longer our own country. Okay? Let me repeat it. When a large portion of the United States become dependent on China, we're no longer our own country.
Yeah.
And fortunately, President Trump realized this and invoked IEEPA, the International Emergency Economic Power Act, and used tariffs to reclaim and defend our sovereignty. It is a national security matter. It is a foreign policy issue. All belongs to the domains of the president's power. But some people claim that this is a tax issue because tariff is a tax. And that is under the Congress jurisdiction. And sue the president. In this case, by the way, president has been losing in lower court. And so now the case is brought to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court held a hearing this past Wednesday. From my own watching of it, and also many report, it is worrisome. Okay, vote will not be due for a few more months, but it's worrisome, and that's why I thought out airing a few, after hearing, I said we got to do a show on this. So, from the hearing, the debate seems to center around if President overstepped the Congress in installing the tariffs. And particularly tariffs against many other countries, including our friendly countries in the world, like the European Union and Canada, etc. Okay? So, today, I want to discuss how the United States has gotten to the situation of dependence in the first place. Why President Trump need to invoke IEEPA? This is not a good situation. Emergency economic. It's not a good situation. If we're not in this situation, you know, this will not be invoked. All right? So we want to further show that under this situation, the president is defending our country from going further down. So the question before the court is not really about tax. It's not even about, you know, our country economy. It is about whether the president under IEEPA has the authority to respond foreign coercion. And this foreign coercion is in a form of China dependence.
Yeah. I mean, I should have looked it up, but I'm sure there's a list of all the things, you know, back to the COVID thing, I think people panicked when they realized, you know, a lot of our medication comes from there. a lot of the things for our medication come from there. There's a tremendous amount of control over us that is really very unseen. But they do control a lot of that. And if they're allowed to just, I mean, if there's no check and no balance, that puts us in an extremely disadvantaged position. We better take a really quick break here and come back so you can get a full thought in. I'm going to cough a lot during the break, so maybe I sound less Marge-like. But anyway, you are listening to We the People. We will have this up with no interruption later this afternoon. You can find it at wethepeopleradio.us.
Waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta be strong. Well,
it's kind of amazing how much good tariff music there is out there. Oddly enough. So, just go finish your thought or maybe expand your thought. How about that?
Yeah, I was told that my voice was kind of low. Is that...
It's good now.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was a little far. It was a little far away.
Okay, so we were speaking about... President Trump is invoking this power as a national defense. Now, if the court misread the situation as ordinary trade regulation, then the United States may unintentionally remove the only tool we currently have to protect our sovereignty in real time. And that is why this case matters to every American, regardless of the party, region, and ideology, because it matters that whether we remain free to make our own decision or we depend on China. And whether we can still have our own values as a nation to guide us through our decision making. And so we need to first understand the nature of this case, how we got here. So in the past, we have discussing this program in this radio stream many times about the barbarous, you know, generous barbarism. And the generous barbarism, it's kind of a weird term, right? Generous barbarism doesn't sit together. Well, they don't sit together. The barbarism is against people who are under the CCP's control. In fact, barbarism would be targeted to the U.S. companies that, you know, the setup in China. We'll get to there. But the generous is to those who are not yet under its control. The CCP tell those who are not under its control, says, we will share with you the profit that we make in China. We'll give you benefits. And there's no cost to it. You know, only that you just don't, you know, oppose us. You don't speak against how we get the profit to you. Just don't ask. Just keep it, okay? Just like when we, you know, when we accept something, right? And want to ask, you know, why we're getting it. Just take it. Don't ask.
Yeah, bottom line is, okay? We can make your product a lot cheaper here. Just don't ask us how we're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, when I first brought this topic, when we first talked about it in 2019, that I haven't seen the Janus barbarism can get worse. Now, after these years, I realize that the Janus barbarism evolves. Right? At the beginning, it's Janus barbarism, cheap goods, so convenient that we stop asking why. And then it becomes a temptation or enticing barbarism that now you can access to the China market. So that causes a competition. Countries, companies, institutions compete to comply to the CCP. Whoever, you know, get the favor of the CCP, then you have a share of the market, right? And then it becomes bribery barbarism, where silence was rewarded. In fact, the CCP would bribe with women with sexual favors, right? So we probably in California we know about Fang Fang and Swallow.
I was just going to say, this just sounds like Fang Fang and good old Eric Swalwell. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The right. Political mistake that never goes away because you have no moral
right.
compass.
And then it got to consensual barbarism where dependence felt like what we're seeing now.
Well, they basically pretend like we're working together. They make things mm-hmm. that we use and we're helping them. It's helping their economy. It's helping the people there. And I think we should mention for the folks that have not listened to the previous shows on China, if you are unfamiliar with the concept of forced organ harvesting, which is the one really strong capitalist program they have in China, they sell their citizens' organs. Go back and listen to some of those programs. It will curl your hair.
Right. So by now it has gotten to another stage. Well, we have long gotten to that stage, the dependency barbarism. A lot of our lives, a lot of aspects of our lives become dependent on China. You mentioned the COVID. Right. Let me mention something just happened a month ago. About a month ago, China announced embargo, rare earth embargo. And that puts the whole world into panic because rare earth, China owns 70% of the rare earth production in the world. By the way, they all came from the United States. Originally came from the United States. China didn't have the technology of rare earth production. We, the United States, taught them. Right. So we'll get to there. How do we become, how something that we originally know become independent? Become dependent upon China, right? And thanks to President Trump, who immediately slapped China with 100% tariff, that beat back China's embargo, China canceled the embargo. So that's just a month ago. So after PPE, you know, COVID-19, there's still more dependence barbarism going on, right? Oh, finally, we're now in coercive barbarism, where resistance will be punished. And we are at that late stage now. So we are responding. President Trump is responding to that. And still, sadly, few people see that. Few people see that President Trump is responding to that and claim that President is taking away the Congress power of tax. Nothing can be further wrong than that. So let's look at why this is a crisis that the President Trump has to respond. It has to respond with IEEPA and tariff. Right? So you mentioned COVID and the PPE. And that is a big case of crisis and dependence. Right? There will be another one. This hasn't started yet. But President Trump has already the foresight to see that coming. He's taking, you know, measures against that. But it's on the horizon. The pharmaceutical dependence. Many of the components to make our pharmaceuticals are now controlled by China.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mentioned the rare earth. So when we take China's favor, cheap product, we start to think, oh, wow, there are higher margin to be made. There are higher profit to be produced by company, right? So we outsource our production to China. Our company moved to China. And so the first thing to be noticed is job loss. Right, in the United States, because the production goes away, the need for a production worker goes away. Right? But then there's a hidden loss that only show up now. At the beginning, it doesn't show. Right? Rare earths, there's such a situation. China didn't know how to make rare earths. Right? So it learned from the United States, and the United States companies then transferred all those technologies to China. And so we voluntarily gave away those because those companies can make them cheaper in China. Rare earth, and the production of rare earth not only is labor intensive, but is also environmentally costly. The CCP has very little concern of environment. So all the environment protection costs can be, you know, saved in China. Okay, so rare earth capability lost. Right? Shipbuilding case capacity were also lost. We used to build fleets. Now, the United States doesn't even own 1% of the world's shipbuilding capacity. Right? And then those companies in China that operates in China. The large number of U.S. companies operates in China. Why? Because higher margin. Right? Well, once you set up in China, you're partially under the CCP's control, right? I mentioned earlier, gender barbarism. The barbarism part only works against those who are under the CCP control. Now you're in China. You're under CCP control. Right? If you want to stay here, if you want to make money here, then transfer some of their technology to us. If you don't, you don't get to make money here. So it becomes coercive. Dependency becomes coercive.
And while your company is in China, you're not operating with, I realize our regulatory environment here is onerous for a business, but what looks like a lax regulatory system in China is replaced by the fact that they watch everything you do.
Well, don't they also require you to be to have a Chinese partner?
Yeah, that's the partner is the one you are transferring your technology to.
Mm-hmm.
And then later we find your partners have set up a similar operation somewhere else to compete against you.
What a shock. I've always been told that the Chinese, just because of the culture, are not particularly good at innovating because there's so much...
They don't have to.
Yeah.
They don't have to.
Yeah, they're always kind of under the thumb, but they're excellent at replicating.
Yeah. Well, it is not the Chinese people are bad. It's a system, right?
Right. No, yeah. That's what I mean, system-wise.
Yeah, Chinese people are good at making things, but it is the Chinese government who make the Chinese people to do bad things, including the Chinese officials to do bad things, and it's the Chinese government to make Americans to do bad things. So, and in China, the CCP overtly make the Chinese people to do bad things. But in the United States, China make Americans do bad things unwittingly. So this is the part that, maybe in the next break, I recommend you play the sound of the song, Sound of Silence. There is a silence. There's a silence in United States to criticize China. Because those companies who criticize China, as I mentioned earlier, can only make money in the United States. But those who do not criticize or side with China will be able to make money at the beginning. To make money in United States and China. So, and also, those lawmakers who do not speak China will get better treatment in certain ways. So, that already fractured, actually, contaminated our system. And yet there's a silence on that. And the worst part of the silence is that even when we are the victim of that silence, we don't realize that. And the most surprising for me, as Aaron mentioned earlier, we are far ahead in terms of the COVID. Right? So when the COVID came, at that moment, okay, in that period of time, I thought to myself, and in fact I spoke at this program, I said, Americans will never believe CCP again, because the CCP is the one that, you know, brought them this, you know, so large number of deaths, right? Tremendous economic loss, you know, social distancing, all of those, right, were rooted in the CCP. Mm. To my surprise, truly to my surprise, that there are so many people who, in this country, even defend China. And large number of them don't know.
Well, I think a lot of that is just based on economics. I mean, they like buying cheaper products from China, and they don't want to rock the boat.
Well, and they don't look at what goes on over there. They're really clueless about things that are happening in that culture to the people in that culture.
Sure.
We have to take a really quick break, though, but we're going to come back. Our guest is Dr. Shizong Chen. little fake musical interlude. You can find us at We the People Radio.
.us.
Yeah, sorry.
Me and all my friends, we're all misunderstood. They say we stand for nothing, and there's no way we ever could. Now we see everything that's going wrong with the world and those who lead it. We just feel like we don't have the means to rise above and beat it. So we keep waiting, waiting, waiting on the world to change. We keep on
softly creeping, left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked away.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. The like probably the only clip in the universe I didn't have in my thing already done. I will rectify that. That was a terrible oversight on my part. All right. Our guest is Dr. Shizong Chen. And if you are wondering what you have been missing about China, like how is all this happening? I don't understand why this might be bad. What is he talking about? Please go to wethepeopleradio.us, click on the tab, mark China, super straightforward, and all of the shows are on there. They're all uninterrupted. You can listen to as much or as little, and each program has its own page. We've interviewed a number of people who've come here from China and are absolutely qualified to compare what goes on in both countries because they've lived in both countries and under both forms of government. And the people that we've interviewed came here, the first lady that I interviewed, first woman, she came here, and she was here almost 10 years before she realized we weren't pretending to be free. She actually thought we were faking, that it was all kind of a ruse like they do in China when you have a minder and they kind of curate your experience there. She thought we were faking. And when she realized she could go online, for instance, and look things up and get information without somebody breaking down her door, because she had been told, like the Tiananmen Square, that the students attacked the military, and that's what that whole thing was about. When she realized that wasn't it at all, she realized her whole life was basically a lie, and became a huge advocate for freedom. And at that point, I thought, well, we've got to find more of these people, which is how we found Dr. Chen. But I think if you're out there and wondering what you have been missing, please go catch up. We'll make it really easy for you. You can read, you can listen, you can do both. But we've got it all up there for you. Okay, there is my catch up on China. There are lots of ways to catch up on what's going on in China, but that's a shortcut for people. So Back to Dr. Jen.
So I first want to echo back to the song. I have heard this song, I don't remember how many times, but when I was young, I didn't understand it.
Yes.
And when you played this clip, you know, just a minute ago, it was the first time it really brought tears to my eyes, because it hurts. Silence like cancer grow. It grows.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States. And I also want to echo to what Bill said. I was saying that, you know, because people want cheap goods. So what happens is dependence monetizes conscience. It converts questions of right and wrong into questions of profit and loss. And once that happens, people are duped into justifying moral decision into business decision. People believe they're making business decisions, when in reality they're making moral conscience, you know, concessions. So that is exactly how the CCP strategists work. They don't have to tell us to tell lies. The CCP only needs to make us to realize that telling the truth is expensive. And so, once the market rewards silence, this will get into all aspects of life, even into our, you know, lawmaking. So the CCP invasion into our nation is real. People just do not realize that.
And that's very much their style, is to be very, very subtle. You know, I mean, you can take over a country a lot of different ways, and why not be, you know, the art of war. It's all about the slow, long game. And this is all part of that.
Yeah. And this is now... inside our institutions, it is inside our decision making. It is inside our, this is the most terrifying part, it is inside our moral center. When we're conditioned to think, to measure truth by price, truth now has a price tag. Think about that. I cannot find other words to describe it. It just, oh my goodness, silence like a cancer grow.
Well, I was going to say, and the idea that the Supreme Court would cut off the ability to combat that is just a, I think your point is very well taken, that they're missing, they're looking at the wrong thing.
Well, it's a juggling act, because you can't infringe on free trade, but there's moral implications that have to come into play and have to come into consideration as well.
Yeah.
Well, and if the president, can you imagine? I mean, let's just look at the mechanics, right? Just from a functional standpoint, let's say Congress was incredibly efficient and the government wasn't shut down for 40 something odd days because because the Democrats refused to vote for a clean funding bill. So let's just say that's not happening, and that they all get along really well, and basically they just kind of duke it out like they used to do in the old days, and make laws. 535 people, that's a lot of folks to get pointed in the right direction, even if all you're talking about is the majority of them in the right direction. So if every trade decision has to go through Congress, there will be no trade decisions. I don't know how you'd even do that. And it would take so long, by then, obviously the moment has passed. So the ability of the president to make decisions to impact policy, not the taxation of tariff, but to use that as a tool, it would no longer be a tool at all.
You put it, the best way I can put, that's exactly what it is.
We will have to, I don't know if you want to do it now or you want to do it next hour, but we do have to tell them about Brother Wang. We have like four minutes left. Should we wait till next hour and get into that?
No, go ahead.
Well, because it's an amazing example. Just an amazing example of what the president operating on his own. And it's something. Oh, I saw the sheriff of the county that's really deeply impacted by the cartel marijuana grows, and three of the county supervisors. None of them had heard anything about this, and the sheriff's eyes popped open, and everybody had that aha moment like I did when you told me about this guy yesterday. So I did post this on the page for today. Today is November 9th, 2025, if you're listening to this on a repeat. But the Swift story here is all of these cartels that we have especially in the western states, we see a lot of Chinese chemicals, 55-gallon drums. And if that's a new idea for you, please go to the website, click on the pot tab, and you'll have a flood of information. Also, the articles regarding this guy are on today's page and that one. So we're seeing tons of Chinese chemicals. It started with the northern Laotian groups, the Hmongs, had come in and started growing. And now that has really basically morphed into Chinese cartels, really hardcore, well-funded. That's the real sticker, is very well funded. They get wiped out by the sheriff's office. They're back in business in a couple of days. Everything. Greenhouses, soil, plants, everything. It's like it falls out of the sky. So everyone has always wondered. We do have Mexican cartels out here too. But there seems to be a real interplay between the two. And it's always been a little bit of a curiosity. Like, how are they bringing these chemicals from China that are they haven't been able to be sold for years and years. They're bringing them through the drug tunnels and across the border in Mexico and up into all of our areas. You know, you'd think that the Mexican drug cartels would stop that. You know, this is competition. And Dr. Chen asked me yesterday, well, you've heard about Brother Wang, right? I was like, no. Yeah, well, it turns out, I mean, would you believe... There is, you'll have to say his name. I can't, but they call him Brother Wang.
And Zhang Zhidong.
Yeah, rolls right off your tongue. if it's you, if I say it, sounds like I need to use my nebulizer again. Like, oh, Aaron's joking again. The article that caught me was in Gangsters Inc. Besides the fact that I didn't know there was a Gangsters Inc., I need to get out more. But the article doesn't cost money to read, so I thought, hey, that's a good link. But the title, The Rise and Fall of Brother Wang, the Elusive Fentanyl Kingpin Who Connected China to Mexico's Cartels. And yeah. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, that's always been a curiosity of mine as well. Why?
Yeah.
How can China have these connections with Mexican cartels to bring stuff into the United States? Where did that all start, and how did that all happen? And it's big business down there.
Yeah. Let's see how much. We're going to run out of time, but this guy, his extradition was secured by President Trump as part of the fentanyl deal because he was a major fentanyl trafficker, and he had fled to Cuba. So part of these negotiations, unless it's just a really, really, really amazing coincidence, they gave this guy up. He was running this brother Wang was running the Sinaloa cartel. He was the head of the Sinaloa cartel. So kind of all of a sudden made all the things go together. We're going to come right back and actually finish that up. Let Dr. Chen give us the backstory. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.